If you have a Bible this evening, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read the first three verses tonight. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And I'm going to read verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up into training and the admonition of the Lord. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, we thank you tonight for all the blessed children that you've given us in this body of believers. And Father, our heart's desire is that they know Christ. Our heart's desire is they grow up to be lights in this world. Our heart's desire is that they be delivered from this wicked, evil generation that we live in. Father, we pray that these words of Scripture tonight will penetrate their hearts. And Father, that they will live to the glory of your name. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this topic tonight, we must remember the principle that the apostle laid out in Ephesians 5:18. If you remember back when we talked about this, he said, and be not drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. All he tells us in this letter, specifically to these Ephesian Christians, after he tells them to be filled with the Spirit, he's going to lay out how men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit need to live their lives among others as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We saw that in Ephesians 5:21. He also shows us how that the church is to live before its head, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be subject to him, Ephesians 5:23-24. And then he also shows us how Spirit-filled husbands and wives are to live with each other, and it ends up in Ephesians 5:33. So as we come to this new aspect of life, we continue what Paul teaches in Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, concerning this, the Ephesians believers and all new believers coming into the faith, what he does here is he contrasts the new life in Christ with that old pagan life that they had come out of. And this is the kind of life that these people lived before they were converted. We use this scripture a lot through this series, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you're saved and you're are washed in the blood of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit of Christ, your relationship to God is new. Your relationship to the church is new. Your relationship to your wife is new. Your relationship to your husband, to your children, to your parents, to your employer, to the world in general. You are a new creature in Christ, and you respond and you act before them like you never did before when you were not saved. You are a Spirit-filled Christian, and the Holy Spirit controls your behavior. He influences and directs how you live in this world. And now you walk in this life, putting into practice all the Christian doctrines and all the Christian truth that we've learned in this place. Now, this is beyond just mere morality and ethics. Now that I'm in Christ, I'm trying to live a life of obedience to the revealed will of God as a husband and as a wife and as a parent. And as a child. So, as the apostle carries on in this letter with submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God, we want to start out tonight with the duty of children to parents. And what we basically want to talk about tonight simply is submissive children. Now, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This duty is a Christian duty, or you can say this obedience that he calls the children to is a Christian obedience. This is conveyed by the thought in the Lord. Now, some would even translate this, children, as Christians, obey your parents. One translation says, children, keep on obeying your parents in the Lord, for this is righteous. Now, logic with a lot of children who may hear a teaching like this, they say, you might say, well, I'm a child, but I'm not a Christian, so maybe this doesn't apply to me. Maybe it's just only to Christian children. Well, the Apostle Paul is quoting the fifth commandment, which is basically given to the whole world. Yes, God gave it to Israel in Sinai at first, but you are responsible to God to perfectly keep all his commandments, and you owe to God full obedience and allegiance. And whether you are a Christian or not, you will give an account to God for the fifth commandment. In fact, you'll give an account to God for all the commandments in the Word of God. Now, the problem is this. Without Jesus, you will not keep the commandments of God. And even as believers, we can't perfectly keep God's commandments. But Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, was the only one that walked this earth that could perfectly keep the commandments of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And then he says in verse 3, he says, "And for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh," in other words, man's sinful nature made it impossible for him to keep the law of God. He said, God did. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. And then he says in verse 4 that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So I said all that to just tell you that Jesus stood in the place of poor, helpless sinners who could not keep or meet the demands of the holy law of God. And he perfectly kept and obeyed God's holy law. So even if you're a child here tonight and you may be a good and respectable child and you think that you respect your parents, I just want to say this before we start out. You need Jesus. You need Jesus to stand righteous before God. Because this statement that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, that righteous demands of the law can only be satisfied through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he gave perfect obedience to this law, and he will stand in place of all who will believe on him. And God sees you as perfectly fulfilling the righteous requirements of the law when you are in Christ. So when I teach this passage in Ephesians 6, 1-3, I'm going to use this word duty. Now, a lot of Calvinists get upset about the word duty, but I'm not teaching salvation by works. I'm not teaching that you can please God and stand justified before him outside of Christ. Ephesians 6, 1-3, what Paul is doing is Paul is teaching children who are in the Lord their duties and responsibilities to their parents, the same as he did to husbands and wives. And he's going to go ahead later and teach the duties of slaves to parents and masters to slaves and parents to children. So none of this is a works righteousness. What I could call this that we're teaching tonight, I'm going to call this, and I'm not trying to be theologically wrong, this is a new creature righteousness. This is a righteousness that you display because you are a new creature in Christ. This is the fruit of your salvation. If you are a Christian kid, you should obey and honor and love your parents because you are in Christ. So that's what I mean tonight. So back to the subject, Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He says, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise. Now, in the country that we're living in, we have been living in for a long time a country where there has been a complete breakdown in discipline and where lawlessness is rampant everywhere. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. I've been living long enough to see a great erosion of common grace. And I think the reason why some of this has happened is because the breakdown in the marriage and home relationships, because this is what's causing a major problem in the breakdown of our society and civilization. Now, there's two sides to this parent-child relationship problem. In the days that I grew up in, parents were too strict, they were too harsh, they were too stern, they were too legalistic, specifically fathers, even to the point of being cruel to their children. And when they disciplined children, they did not discipline them in love. Now, when I grew up, you didn't get a spanking. You got a beating. It's different. You know, because they would come in angry sometimes and they would, you know, I don't say spank for the children's sake, but they would literally beat you. And they were serious when they came in there, but you never seen the love side of it like you should have seen. Okay. And in the day which we live in there, overall you see basically, and it may be a reaction to the way people were years ago, I really don't know, But parents have a lack of discipline and guidance and giving into and allowing their children to indulge in a lot of things that will eventually destroy children for life. But what I want to say basically is this. There's no balance in both sides of this view, and both sides of this view are completely wrong. It's unbiblical, and it shows an absolute lack of love. Neither one of them is God's will, because good parenting is godly parenting. And godly parenting is done as you do it according to the Word of God. Now, if you're going to be a good parent, you're going to spend a lot of time with your children, specifically mothers, because you're usually with them more than the fathers are, because they're out working and making a living for the family. But it requires a lot of love and a lot of patience. But talking about the breakdown in society, I want you to listen to the description that the Apostle Paul gives of society, and specifically the society that the Ephesians came out of. And this society was also in the world at the time that the Lord Jesus came into the world. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Paul says that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and God gave them over to these sins. And then he gives in chapter 1, verse 29, this is what he says they were like. He says they were filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. He's then verse 30, he says, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And then he says, disobedient to parents. That is a sign that a society is broken down. And he says here, he says, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgivable, unforgiving, and unmerciful. Paul warns Timothy. He says, know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. And he goes on to characterize these times. He says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And then he says, disobedient to parents. So you children sitting here today, that is a serious sin in the sight of God. And like I said, you know, it's the fifth commandment, and it's a serious sin. And I don't think people take it serious sometimes, but this is one of the sins that he puts in the category of these awful sins that people will be committing in perilous times. Now, when true religion is on the incline, one of the greatest manifestations of lawlessness is disobedient to parents. Now, when I say disobedience to parents, here's what I mean. A lack of respect, reverence, and love for your parents. Now, if you're a child here tonight in the Lord, God calls you to be the exact opposite of these ungodly children who show a lack of reverence and respect for their parents in the world today. Now, if you're a child and filled with the Holy Spirit, you will honor and cherish your parents. Now, Ephesians 6, 1 to 2, Paul gives you two words that will sum up your duty to your parents. And we want to look at these tonight and how Christ wants you to live before them. Number one, God wants you to obey your parents. Number two, God wants you to honor your parents. So the first thing he says is obedience. Now, Pastor Charlie's been doing a series on the family in Proverbs. And he said a lot about these scriptures. So if I say some scriptures that he said, it's because he's already taught on it. And I'm not really going into the depth of the family life, but I am talking tonight about the parent-child relationship and what it looks like in a biblical manner. Proverbs 1:8, Solomon says this, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now, this is what Solomon is saying. God has given you a father and a mother, and he's given them authority to instruct you. He's given you a father and a mother the authority to lay down the law for you. He's given you a father and a mother to teach you and tell you what to do and to correct you. If you look up this word, translate obey, it speaks of a readiness to hear. It has the sense to this word of obeying orders. You are to listen, and you are to carry out the commands of your mother and father. And when I say carry out the commands of your mother and father, not just either the father or either the mother, but both of them, because they are your parents. And you're to obey both. Paul says, obey parents, mother and father. This is your duty as a spirit-filled Christian. And Paul says you need to do it in the Lord. Now, if you do something in the Lord, one thing that means is that you have the Spirit of God. If you do something in the Lord, it also means that it's part of your obedience to Christ. Now, one man says this, he says, a certain reverence is thus given to the obedience rendered by children in a Christian home. He says this reverence is prompted and regulated by Christian responsibility. So he says this, he says, when you have this responsibility as a Christian, and he's specifically talking about children to their parents, he said, it therefore must be done cheerful, prompt, habitual. And he says, this is a moral duty and it's the right thing that you need to do. And he said that children are to obey it because it's the right and the natural thing to do. So it's a natural thing for you to do, to obey your parents. You know, it's really basically unnatural for you not to obey your parents. I mean, even animals do this to a certain extent. And, you know, it's a lot of unnatural things are being done in the world today, and people are glorying in this thing. And this basic thing about children telling parents what to do and children doing all this crazy stuff they're doing and women ruling over men and everything, every bit of it in the order of God is completely unnatural. You say, why is it unnatural? Because God is the one that says the way it should be done. And it's not the natural way. Now, I'm not, you know, condemning anybody because they do it. I know they need to be saved and things like this. But people are glorying in things in the day that we live in that are completely unnatural. You know, I like to watch football and stuff on TV. And I tell you all the time, I cannot stand these commercials where the children and the mother are telling the father what to do. And he's walking around, and they got this little chain in his neck, and they're walking around telling him what to do and stuff. And I know I come out of the old school, but I just have a hard time getting over that because it's unnatural. And so the world is glorying in that. So it all breaks down to children disobeying their parents and having a lack of respect. And not only do they have a lack of respect for their parents, but they will go on in life having a lack of respect for other authority in life that they need to have respect for. You see a nation right now that is full of protest and everything else. And every time you turn on the TV, somebody's whining and crying. And I'm going, just respect people. Respect the president. You say, well, I don't like the president. Yeah, but you got to respect the president. And God says, you know, the powers that be are ordained of me. So I want you to respect and honor the president. He says, honor the king and things like that. God is the one that said to do this. Well, disobedience does not depend essentially on the character of the parents. Now, I say that to you, children, because some parents are obnoxious. Some parents are mean. Some parents are unloving. And some parents are uncaring. But you are to listen to them, and you need to realize that you've been placed under their authority by God Almighty. Now, the only exception is if they command you to do something that will cause you to sin and to disobey God. And we'll talk about that a little later about unconverted parents. But you ought to listen to them as being under their authority by God, given to you by God. So this all comes back to submission to one another in the fear of God, the same as Paul told wives to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. Now, children, this is not to be a grudging, mechanical obedience. To obey your parents is not going to always be easy to do. If you're a Christian tonight, you know yourself, it's not always easy to obey God. But out of love for Christ and love and reverence for your parents and love for God's commandments, you will obey your parents and we will obey God. Because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will give a ready, joyful obedience to your parents, and you will not rebel against the authority that God has entrusted them with in thought, word, or deed. You won't deceive your parents. You won't lie to your parents. You won't do things behind the back of your parents. You are to obey your parents because you love your parents, and you will obey your parents because you love God, and God told you to obey your parents. So the first thing Paul says here is that we are to obey our parents. The second thing he says is you are to honor your father and mother. As I said before, these commands to obey and honor, they are given to every kind of parent. Even if your parents are unconverted, you are to honor and obey your parents. Now, I know some situations is hard and some situations is difficult to do, but they are still your parents. You know, it's to be given to parents who are unconverted. It's to be given to parents who are cruel. It's to be given to parents who provoke the children to wrath. It's to be given to parents who are mean and unloving. And I want to just make this point. You are always, regardless of how they are, to honor and reverence them. And there be, even though there may arise some situations where you cannot obey them, but even though you cannot obey them, you can still honor and reverence them. And the situation, like I said earlier, where you cannot obey them is where your relationship to God may become involved in it. Because there are a lot of children that get saved and their parents are unconverted. And the first thing that they do is they have problems with their parents. And their parents try to prohibit a son or a daughter from worshiping God, or they try to prohibit them from giving him the obedience that they are to give him. And then you must refuse to obey a parent that is against God. Now, if an unconverted parent tries to compare you to sin or to commit acts of sin, you have to refuse and you have to suffer the consequences. She will tell you, and I will talk about this in a minute, when we first got saved, the first roadblock we ran into was family. They didn't hate us because, you know, they knew I was terrible and needed to be in church and stuff. But all they wanted me to do was be in church. They didn't want me to be saved. There's a difference. And when they seen that I was saved, then they was like, no. You're going to end up in an asylum somewhere or something like that. They was telling stuff like that. But the first thing we did was we ran in trouble with parents. And so we loved them and respected them. In fact, when I got saved, I had much more respect for parents or her parents or mine, either one, than I ever had before. But we had to disobey some of their, you know, wishes and desires for us because it was against the will of God. And we weren't trying to be nasty or rebellious against them or anything like that. It was just a fact of staying true to Jesus. Now, I want you to listen to Jesus deal with this problem, because what Jesus says, when this happens to an unsaved child, Jesus would tell you, that's just your cross. Now, your cross is not Jesus' cross. You know, like, only he could bear that one that he went to Calvary's hill upon. But your cross and my cross is the price that we must pay to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody that follows the Lord Jesus Christ is given a cross. And Jesus said, you need to take it up and you need to live a life and follow him. Now, what you have in the world today is cheap Christianity. And let me tell you about cheap Christianity. Cheap Christianity hasn't done away with the cross of Jesus. They preach the cross. The cross that they've done away with is yours. And that's what makes Christianity cheap. Jesus said, you need to take up your cross and follow me. So if you're a child and you say you've got unconverted parents, then Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, because you're going to be persecuted for my name's sake, and you're just going to have to suffer the consequences for following the Lamb of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, this is what Jesus said. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And this is not because of hatred and things like that for each other. This is all because of following him. Now, if you lived in the days of Jesus and you was a Jew, a lot of Jews had to face this situation right here. And they knew what persecution was about following the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that a man's enemies would be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So when he talks about taking up this cross, he's speaking of following Christ, living for him, and not to hesitate to cheerfully and bravely bear persecutions, troubles, and distress, and rejections, or anything that you have to bear for the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember how he took his cross up and willingly did it, you know, to suffer for our sake. Now, many were converted out of Judaism, and they lived out this passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 10. They were disowned by their families, and some even died. You can read down in, you know, the history of the church. Mark 13, 11 to 13, Jesus tells them that their parents would be betraying children, children would be betraying parents, and they will, you know, they would betray them to the point that they would be put to death. But that is something that we really haven't had to face in this country, because America is built on Christianity and things like that. But there are some people, because of what they believe in following the Lamb of God, have had to face this kind of persecution, you know, for following the Lord Jesus. And I'm specifically talking to children here. Now, back to the point, you are to honor your mother and father, whether they are Christians or not, and you are to do this all the days of your life. Honor simply means respect. It means reverence them. It means you need to do it inwardly as well as outwardly. To honor your father and mother, you will highly esteem them. You will love them in your heart. You are to reverence and respect them. You are to rejoice in the fact that God allows you to do that for your parents. It is a privilege, that, you know, and you need to go out of your way to honor and respect your parents. And because you're in Christ, your response and your relationship to your parents will be the exact opposite of the multitudes of these children of the world today. And you're only different for one reason, is because the Spirit of God dwells in you. I think of children today, they are arrogant, they are aggressive, they are proud, they are boastful, and they are evil speaking. And children, you don't want to follow that pattern or example. It's completely against the commandment of God. I think a lot of people, I think we're around sin so much we get hardened to it and forget how bad it is in the sight of God. But that's offensive to a holy God, what people are doing in the world today and the way people treat their parents and things like that. If you're a child that respects your parents, you will not talk back to your parent. You will not belittle your parent. You will not speak hateful to your parents. And one of the things I can't stand, you will not roll your eyes at your parents. Kids do all that kind of stuff. And they roll your eyes at their parents, just showing them, I'll do what you told me, but I don't like what you just told me. Now, if you are filled with the Spirit of God, you will respect, you will obey, you will honor your parents, and you will be a shining light in the midst of a wicked and a crooked, perverse generation. And you will not get into the peer pressure that this world puts on you to be like them. I don't think we like to be seen different, but I'll tell you one thing. If you love your parents in this world today, you will be seen different. Children will see you different. And they will persecute you and whatever else they could do to help you. And they use this word, they will bully you or whatever else they can do to you. Well, your greatest motive for doing all that you do as a Christian is unto the Lord. And that includes honoring your parents. Because what it does, it gives great pleasure to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ when we obey His commandments. We're not saved by law keeping, but once we're saved, we love the law of God and we strive to keep the law of God. It's imperfectly, but we strive to keep it. One man says this. He says, Christianity does not do away with the law of God. He says, Christianity brings grace, enabling believers to keep the law of God, but not perfectly. Jeremiah 31:33, in the New Covenant, I will put my law into their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. And one of them he needs to write on your heart as a child is to honor your parents, to love and respect your parents. Now, as we begin slowly to close down tonight, I want to give you the example of Christ, specifically the children, when he came into this world and he grew up as a child into manhood, because he gave us all a great example to follow. We have the account in Luke chapter 2, and I'm just going to tell you some of what happened here. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 50. Jesus was 12 years of age, and he went up to Jerusalem with his parents, Joseph and Mary, to the feast of the Passover. And as they left Jerusalem, journeying back home, they traveled for a day before his parents did, before they realized that Jesus was not with them. Well, they go back and they find him in the temple, reasoning and sitting in the midst of the teachers and the doctors of the law. And he was both listening to them and he was also asking them questions. Verse 47, they said, all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And then verse 48, his parents, after they found him, they asked him why he had done this to them, because they were anxiously seeking for him. They were, I'm going to say, worried about him, concerned about him. And he answered them, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Now, they didn't understand this statement that he was speaking to them at the time. But then verse 51, it says, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. In other words, when he went down to Nazareth with them, he was obedient to them. He put himself under their authority. But this is what I want to say. This was the incarnate Son of God, and yet he humbled himself, and he submitted himself and was obedient to his parents, Joseph and Mary. He was conscious within himself that he was in this world to carry out his father's business. And he obeyed his parents and submitted to them anyway, because he obeyed them for one reason, to please his Father in heaven. He obeyed them for another reason, that God's law might be fulfilled in every aspect. And he also left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Jesus Christ perfectly kept the fifth commandment. And that is your Savior. And that is the example that he left for us to follow. Well, what about the great promise of this commandment? He said that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, you got to go back to Exodus 20:12 to find the origin and the setting of this commandment. These words in Ephesians 6:3, they were originally given to the nation of Israel. And they have a specific reference to the prosperity and long life in the promised land. But what Paul does here in Ephesians, he widens the meaning of this promise by making it apply to all children who render obedience to honor their parents. Now, this promise does not mean that if I honor my father and my mother, that I'm guaranteed a long life on this earth. And the reason I say this is because some have honored their mother and father, and they died an early death. And then there are some who totally ignore the fifth commandment, and they live a life, you know, to a ripe old age. But that's all in the providence of God. But what God is saying to Israel, he said, if you want to go on living in the land of promise that I'm giving you, observe these commandments, especially this one in particular, honor your father and your mother, and you will live blessed and you will live happy in the promised land that I am giving you. So what Paul is doing, he's generalizing this promise, and what he's doing is he's dealing with the Gentiles as well as the Jews when he says this, who have become Christians, as he's saying this, if you want to live a blessed life, a full life under the blessing of God, obey this commandment. God may choose to keep you on this earth for a long time, just an example of the manifestation of this blessing, but regardless of how old you are when you leave this world, if you honor your father and mother, you will know that you live under the blessing and the good hand of God. And you will know that God smiles upon you and he looks down with pleasure because you have kept this commandment. Now, older people. Nobody wants to be old, but you're old. Let us as Christians not be guilty of transgressing this commandment, especially as parents become older and they need a lot of help and assistance. And I would say specifically grandparents, because we should not let our parents or grandparents become a nuisance or an unwanted burden, but we should joyfully and cheerfully care for them the same as your parents care for you. I know a lot of times that, don't get me wrong, I'm not against nursing homes, but there used to not be nursing homes. Did y'all know that, kids? They kept people at home until they actually died. But I tell you, when they kept them at home and, you know, they got in bad shape, they had to take care of these people. And, you know, and they had to, you know, change them. They had to wash them. They had to do all this stuff. But they honored and loved their parents, and they had dignity for their parents. And they really did what they had to do to take care of their parents. But what people are doing now, I say, okay, you're like 55. You got 5 years, and we're going to stuff you in a nursing home. Well, I'd already been in one if that was the case, you know. But that's the way people look at things. So they pre-plan out to put you in one. Because if somebody kept their parents at home, and I'm not saying you have to do this, I'm just saying that it would be quite a chore to take care of an older person in the home. It would be some work. Now, you think a baby's work with an older person, it would really be some work. Well, Matthew 15:1-9, Jesus charges the scribes and the Pharisees with making this commandment of no effect by their tradition. Jesus says in verse 4, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." He said, "But you say," and he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, "whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God." In other words, Corban, dedicated to God. "Then he need not honor his father or mother." And what Jesus is saying that they would say, specifically concerning their tradition, "Mom, Dad, I would love to help you. I would love to look after you. But I have dedicated this money which I have to the Lord and to the work of the Lord." And so what they do is they excuse themselves from honoring their parents, and they deduct them and their duties toward them. And Jesus said, when you do this, you are breaking the fifth commandment. And so he said, you breaking the fifth commandment by holding to your corrupt traditions. So for the children and for all of us, you need to respect and honor your parents until death do you part. All the way down. And don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees using Christian service as an excuse not to take care of or to neglect your parents. This is a bad testimony to the world, but it's also a breaking of the fifth commandment. Now, children in here tonight, how serious do you take this commandment? What are your thoughts about your parents? Are you one of these kids that said, "I can't wait till I'm 18 to leave home"? I tell you what, leave home at 18 and see how easy it is. Wait till insurance start coming in. Wait till cars start breaking down. You know, wait till all this stuff that happens in any way. And you'll be back home and say, "Mom and Dad, you know, I believe what you tell me now." Because that stuff starts happening quick. But a lot of people, children want to leave home at 18 because they think their parents are too strict, they're too harsh, and, you know, they want me to live right and I don't want to do that or whatever else. But regardless of how your age, you ask your question tonight, and this is all of us, how do you treat your parents? Is it with the attitude of great respect, dignity and honor, truthfulness? What about unbelieving parents? How do you live with them if you have an unbelieving parents? Do you turn them against Christianity by being overly spiritual and to the point of a lack of respect? And I've seen that happen too. Let me ask you this, Christian children. When is the last time you got on your knees and thanked God for the godly parents he's given you? I know all the parents in here. You got some good parents. A lot of kids in this world do not have it. And a lot of you take your parents for granted. And how many times have you given God thanks that you live in a Christian home? It's one of the most privileged things that you have. You got to realize what a blessing it is if you've been raised up in a Christian home with Christian parents who made sure they took you to church and, yeah, made you hear the gospel. Y'all with me? I said made you hear the gospel. And even when I was little, they made us go to church. Now, we didn't hear the gospel and things like that. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would have loved to live in a Christian home. Now, I'm not saying I would have been saved. If I wouldn't have been saved, I'm glad it happened the way it did. But you children are greatly privileged. And not in just in this church, but in churches throughout the world where children are being raised in Christian homes because there's a lot of common grace there. And where there's a lot of common grace, you're going to hear a lot of the gospel and things. And a lot of them end up getting saved. Our saved rate in this church is great. There's a lot of kids being saved in this church. Well, as we close down tonight on this concerning honoring your parents, our Lord Jesus Christ, right before he died on the cross, as he was about to leave this world and go back to his heavenly Father, I love this right here, he made sure that his earthly mother was taken good care of. John 19:25, he says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, he said, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to that disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his home. You know what Jesus did? Right before he went into heaven? "John, take care of my mother." And the scripture says, after this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished. And I'm wondering if you could stick that in there, the fact that my mother is taken care of before I go back to heaven. This is the Son of God. And that's how much he loved his mother. So the point being is he honored his mother. Brethren, he honored his mother right before he said it is finished. That's something to think about. Kept the fifth commandment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God is pleased with obedient children. And this commandment is a serious commandment, but it's a blessed commandment. And I will tell you as your pastor tonight, you have good parents. Sure, they make mistakes. Sure, they have bad days. Who doesn't? But they love you, and they do all they can to make sure. And one thing I know that the parents do here, they want to make sure that your feet step into the kingdom of God. And what a great thing to know that they want you to know Jesus before you leave this earth. So that's what Paul says concerning the children. Take it serious. Ask the Lord to give you a heart, and don't have the heart of this world the way kids look at older people. And I'm not knocking the kids to this world. I feel sorry for them. I wish somebody would give them light on these things. But a lot of kids in this world, they feel like nobody cares for them. You know what I mean? All this stuff that's going on. And you would love to see somebody just to guide them in the right direction, so it makes them think the way they think. But you're a Christian, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're blessed. And you can take the fifth commandment and help other kids that you witness to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that you have blessed us with kids in this church who do have godly parents and who point them to your Son. Father, we don't take for granted the common grace and the overall saving grace that we experience in our lives every day. And Father, we pray for the children of this church that they would honor and respect and love their parents. But we pray even more that they would honor and respect and love you. Father, give us all, regardless of our age, the heart we need for our parents. And Father, cause us all to keep this commandment. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.